You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 313 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you live deep into the night on a Saturday at Phillips Arena, a very rare Sunday morning podcast if you're listening to this, or late Saturday night. It's also Christmas Eve if you're listening to this, so happy holidays, Merry Christmas to everybody that's listening to the podcast. And the Hawks sent themselves, I guess, into the break with a win on Saturday evening with a final score of a 112-107 against the Dallas Mavericks. The Hawks were certainly in some peril in this game down the stretch, ended up holding off the challenge of the visiting Mavs, who actually were favored in this game. Dallas was a slight, you know, 1 or 2 point favorite, depending on where you looked coming into this game. So this is a quote-unquote upset for the Hawks, but still it's basically a situation where if you're ever going to win some games this year, if you're the Hawks, this is the type of game that you have to win at home against a team that's comparable to you, at least at the very least. I'm sure Dallas is probably slightly better than the Hawks, you know, in an overall talent standpoint, and they are, of course, well coached by Rick Carlisle, but still the Hawks played very well here and were able to get a win. So plenty to talk about, as you might expect, on this fine podcast. Before we get to that, stuff when it comes to the individual players in this game, I want to break down sort of the overall sort of ebb and flow of things. For the most part, this is definitely a back-and-forth game in the truest sense. There were very few big leads in this contest. It actually was kind of fitting in the opening minutes of the game. There was 2-7-0 runs. They were actually perfectly alternating. The Hawks had the first one, then Dallas had the second one to sort of even things up, and it was 25-25 at the end of the first quarter. Malcolm Delaney and Isaiah Taylor both played considerable minutes in this game. They actually came in together for the first time in the first quarter of this game, which I thought was actually kind of funny given the context here, to see those guys come in at the same time in the first quarter and play in the backcourt together. Not a huge surprise, because they have done that at some points this season together, but still, I thought that was at least something to file away, just because it's not the normal rotation, I would say, for the Hawks, and we'll get into some more other rotation stuff here on the podcast. In general, though, the offense was pretty crisp in that first quarter, pretty bad in the second quarter, and defensively, there were some ups and downs in this game, to be sure. The Hawks did take control, though, after halftime, after sort of blowing it late in the first half to go into the half with a deficit. The first portion of the third quarter was owned by the Hawks. It was a 9-2 run to open second half and take the lead back from the Mavs, and actually, it was 27-12 overall to start the third quarter for the Hawks, as Dennis Schroeder sort of took control. We'll talk about him much more on the podcast later on. But from there, though, Dallas actually kind of awakened, went on a 15-4 run to close the third quarter and actually take the lead back, which had to be pretty deflating if you were in the building. It certainly felt as if Dallas had just kind of taken control of the game again. With that said, though, the Hawks were able to put things back in control. The fourth quarter was certainly a back-and-forth effort on both sides of the ball. But a huge Dennis Schroeder three with about 4.5 minutes to go to give the Hawks the lead back when it seemed to be slipping away a little bit in the closing seconds. A lot of back and forth, but Hawks got some timely stops. They definitely needed them on the way to this victory, and that was enough to secure what actually became a 5-point win. Overall, in terms of the output of the entire team here, offensively, a 121.3 offensive rating, very, very, very good for Atlanta here. 57% from the floor, 42% from the three-point range, and 82% from the free throw line. Also, 29 assists for the Hawks. That was very, very encouraging on a number of levels. Offensively, in general, it was a pretty strong performance from start to finish. There were a couple moments in the first half where it was kind of sketchy, but still, in the overall, you can't ask for much more than what they were able to do offensively. They had 54 points in the paint as well, which is very encouraging for a team that isn't always as productive like that around the rim. Defensively, it was a game of highs and lows, as I mentioned before. A 115.9 defensive rating is actually pretty bad, but at the same time, they were able to hold Dallas down from three-point range to a 9 of 33 clip, which is not awful. It's a lot of shots to allow, but they were able to at least make them contested, and Dallas was not able to make them pay on this night. And the Mavs, in general, shot the ball pretty well, had 31 assists, moved the ball effectively, and they're very well coached by Rick Carlisle. Kind of undermanned at the moment, just because, you know, they're without Seth Curry, and they've been missing him all season long. Nerlens Noel was kind of in a bust there in Dallas, and in general, you know, Maxi Kleber was playing big minutes for the Mavs in this game. They're not that talented, but it was J.J. Barea actually having a huge game, 15 points and 12 assists off the bench for Dallas. He's sort of been a Hawks killer at times in his career, but again, the Hawks were able to hold them off, and that was an impressive performance on a number of levels, again, by the Hawks, even though you know, the scoreboard was kind of narrow. It was a good performance, and Bud seemed very, very happy, as well as the team seemed very happy after the game. With that said, before we get to the player portion of the podcast, which I'm sure will be very interesting, on, again, especially Dennis Schroeder's portion of the program, before we get to that, though, I want to remind you guys to subscribe to the podcast. It's the holiday season, of course. Tell your friends about this. Send them a free Christmas present and the Form of a Positive podcast they absolutely should check out in the future. The entire Lockdown Podcast Network is definitely worth a listen, including, of course, this show. Subscribe, download, sort of leave positive feedback, do all those fun things. We really appreciate it, and definitely thank you for your patronage at this time of year. So with that said, we can get into the player portion. We'll start with the bench. That's sort of the low-key portion of this program, aside from the fact that DeAndre Bembry and Luke Babbitt did not play at all in this game. Babbitt has been basically out of rotation for the last three or four games now. With that said, Bembry being out of rotation was certainly noteworthy. That's a new development. He was not good at all on Friday against the Thunder, as we talked about on yesterday's podcast. So I'm not overly surprised that he did not play in this game. His minutes ended up going to Malcolm Delaney. But in general, I'm not... I'm not surprised. I'm also not necessarily upset with that, because Bembry's offense has been really struggling. I'm a proponent of sort of having him play through it a little bit, but still, you know, in a close fought game like this, it might be good to give him a night off, kind of let his brain heal a little bit, to just sort of rest and watch the game from the sideline, because offensively he's certainly pressing at this moment. So I was not upset about that at all, even though I'm a huge Bembry fan still. As for the guys who actually did play them, Isaiah Taylor played the least minutes, a 10-man rotation for the Hawks. Not a big surprise there either, but Taylor played 12 minutes, was 1 of 2 from the floor, had 2 points. Not exactly anything to write home about, aside from the fact that he came in with Delaney early on. That was a bit of a surprise in some ways, but in general, he played reasonably well. It wasn't as if it was bad by any stretch of the imagination. Just nothing to be terribly excited about from Isaiah in this spot. And again, I mean... You know, 3 assists, it's one of those things. He had a foul. He was kind of around the Hawks actually were outscored by 13 points. He was a minus 13, which is probably somewhat indicative. The bench was not great in this spot together. Still, though, I thought he actually played reasonably well, and there were a couple moments where he wasn't great, but nothing terribly wrong with the way that he played in this game. Tyler Cavanaugh, 15 minutes of play, 7 points, was 3 of 5 from the floor, had 5 rebounds. I thought he was actually a little bit better than he's been in the recent past. His 3-point shooting continues to regress just a little bit. He missed his first two, made his last one in the second half. It was actually a pretty big shot. But Cavanaugh was okay in this game. Marco Bellinelli, pretty anonymous performance. He had 27 points in Oklahoma City. In this game, only 2 points on 1 of 4 from the floor. Was a little bit more modest than normal with his shot selection, which is something that I would never argue with, because he's usually a little bit over-aggressive. But I thought Marco played within himself and wasn't awful defensively. There's always the problem that he has there. But 16 minutes and 2 points, so sort of a nondescript performance from Bellinelli. John Collins, 13 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. He was 6 of 9 from the floor in this game, was minus 10, and I'm sure this would be a point of contention. If the Hawks had lost this game, it would have been even louder, obviously. But Collins played fewer minutes in this game than Miles Plumlee did, which is something that I definitely cannot get behind. I understood what Bud was trying to do down the stretch of this game when they were going without a big man. Was Ilya Sova at center in the final moments against Dallas, and that I had no problem with that whatsoever. With that said, playing Plumlee, as many or even slightly more minutes than Collins is just kind of indefensible. I know Plumlee did play well. We'll talk about that here in a second. But by his standards, I should say. But Collins should be playing more. I'm going to sound like a broken record after a while with this particular topic. But, it's a good thing the Hawks won this game, because if not, we would have heard a lot about this, even though I definitely heard about it still, even in the win, that Collins didn't play enough. And I definitely echo that sentiment. Finally, on the bench, Malcolm Delaney, 27 minutes. Again, another big sort of deployment performance from Malcolm. He was a little bit quieter on this night than he was on Friday when he had a huge game in Oklahoma City. With 7 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, was playing crunch time. When the Hawks were going small, it was with Schroeder and Delaney in the backcourt together with Bazemore, Prince, and Ilya Sova, which I actually had no problem with, because, going small against a team like Dallas that's playing Dirk Nowitzki as the team's center, they didn't need to have that traditional big on the floor, so that's why I was okay with Collins not playing. And honestly, in that spot where you need defense more than offense almost, you would definitely want to go with Delaney over the likes of Bellinelli, and of course, Bembry's not an option when he's not playing at all in the game, so Delaney going and playing there was not a big surprise, and I was definitely okay with it. He played well in this game. It was a little bit, of course, more under the radar than it was on Friday, but he continues to play very well. You could see the confidence growing in him as he plays bigger minutes, and he's a guy, might be something to it with Delaney. I'm not always one to subscribe this kind of thing, but he's a guy who has been basically playing a ton of minutes his entire life, and maybe he's not super comfortable when he's not playing more minutes. Of course, that's something that you have to get over if you're going to be a bench player, which he obviously is going to be in the NBA, but if he's playing more, the results have been better, and that's encouraging for the Hawks. With that said, we can get into the starting lineup, and the headliner in this game was Dennis Schroeder, of course. 33 points, 7 assists, 13 of 22 from the floor, 4 of 8 from 3, 3 of 3 from the free throw line. He was a plus 18 in 36 minutes of action. Actually, in this game, he was pretty quiet in the first half, and after halftime, he played 17 minutes, had 27 points. After halftime, pretty outrageous. He was extremely efficient, made all three of his threes after halftime, and he was just great in a number of ways. Honestly, offensively, you know, Schroeder can certainly turns people off the way he plays, but you know, in this game, he was kind of I don't want to say flawless, but he was very, very good offensively, and the numbers kind of illustrate that. He was able to get wherever he wanted. He was under control. There was less of the out of control sort of all the way to the rim kind of stuff with Dennis. He was more measured, and he was able to translate that into some real success defensively. I have to point out he's not great on that end, but I will say in the last couple of games here, his intensity level has been better on the defensive end. It seemed like he was certainly dialed in more than I thought he probably would be in this game, and it's sort of an anonymous performance, although he did miss the game on Friday. There was some question as to whether he wouldn't play on Saturday. I was always pretty confident that he would play in this game because it didn't seem to be all that serious in Oklahoma City. Still, you know, Dennis was still a game-time decision. He ended up being sort of ruled in the final minutes before the game, and he looked healthy to me. The effort level was good, you know, perhaps having the night off on Friday helped with that, and of course playing as a couple of his German teammates in Maxi Kleber and of course Dirk was probably a little bit of an inspiration there as well, and him and JJ Barea had a nice back and forth going at times in this contest. So shouts to Dennis Schroeder, who played very, very well in this game. Elsewhere, Kent Bazemore, 11 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists. He was 2 of 8 from the floor in 29 minutes. He played very well, I thought, aside from the shooting. Plus 17, probably not that well, just sort of in and of itself, but I thought Kent did play well here, despite the fact that they didn't shoot the ball very well. He stuffed the stat sheet in a big way, and that was an efficient performance, aside from the shooting. And defensively, he was a very important piece of what was going on for Atlanta. Miles Plumlee, I mentioned before, had a nice game by his standards, 6 points, 4 rebounds. He was pretty quiet, but a 3-3 from the floor, 21 minutes. I do want to point out, you know, part of the reason why Plumlee can look I want to say good offensively is that he's often open. Just the gravity that he brings is nothing compared to John Collins. So a lot of the time he is kind of open around the rim and unimpeded to the rim. He has been better at finishing than I would have thought around the rim when he gets there. But in general, I think the efficiency is probably going to be a little bit overstated with the way that he's playing. Still defensively, when the Mavs were playing a traditional big, I thought he did a pretty good job. And the Hawks were continuing to be good with him on the court this year in a small sample size, of course. The second half, Bud rode with him for a long, long stretch when the Hawks were playing very well early in the third quarter. I had no beef with that because the Hawks were playing well. You know, again, I want to see him play less and just in a vacuum because you want to see Collins play more. But, you know, Plumlee did what they wanted him to do. I'm not kind of clear as to what exactly the investment level is in playing him this much. I understand sort of starting him and keeping Collins in a quote role, but still, I'm not sure why you play this much. But still, you know, Plumlee, there were some positive moments and nothing too terribly big to complain about aside from the fact that he's just playing a little bit too much for my liking. Ursula Noyesova, 21 points, 7 rebounds, and 2 assists. He was 7 of 9 from the floor, 2 of 3 from 3, and 5 of 5 from the free throw line. I asked Bud after the game about Ursula's performance, and he basically said that he thinks that Ursula's playing as well as he has the entire time that he's been with the Hawks. That's about a calendar year now almost. It's tough to argue with that. He's been fantastic in the recent past. You know, it's not always flashy with Ursula, but he's very efficient. He's in the right place in the right time defensively, and I just love his game. Honestly, I think he's an undervalued player, underrated player. I think, you know, there's been a lot of talk about him being traded, which definitely makes a lot of sense because he's on an expiring contract, but he's a very, very valuable piece, and he's very malleable as well. The Hawks are able to do a lot of different things because he's such a rock-solid player at that position that can do a lot of different things. Well, space the floor and defend and even defend centers sometimes, and at least have played very, very well here, and shouts to him for that. Finally, Taurean Prince, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, had 6 turnovers, which is not what you want to see from Taurean, played 29 minutes. I think Bud was frustrated with him a couple of different times, especially offensively. He was pressing a little bit, but managed to be efficient in terms of his shooting, and defensively there were some moments where he was pretty interesting in terms of being strong defensively. You know, Harrison Barnes got going a little bit with 22 points, but took 21 shots to get there, and Taurean did a good job in generally of deterring him. I was again on board with him, with the Hawks going small, with Prince playing power forward in the final moments. That ended up working in a big way. And you know, this is not a huge game for Torian, but it also wasn't a bad game, and you want to see more of those in the future. So, and just in general here, a very, very strong performance from the Hawks. I mentioned that before, but that, you know, with the win, the Hawks are now 8-25. The Mavs are now 9-25, so the Hawks are now only one half game short of Dallas, and they swept the season series against the Mavs. That might be the only time all year that the Hawks do that against the team, but there you go with that. The Hawks are still, of course, projected to be the worst team in the league according to 538 and some other projection systems by the end of the season, but in terms of the actual raw record right now, they're getting a little bit closer to the pack, and if you are somebody who's not really rooting for ping pong balls, you might be a little bit encouraged by that. Of course, if you are angling towards the future and you want to see a high-end draft pick, you want the Hawks to lose some games here, but no shame in actually winning every once in a while, and everybody was pretty upbeat here going into the Christmas holiday, which is always fun to see when you're around a team in a locker room. So with that said, a little bit of housekeeping here before I let you guys get out of here on this fine Saturday into Sunday. There will not be a new episode on Christmas Day with the Hawks out of action. And I'm also going to take Tuesday off. So a two-day break here. I try to fill those in with the weekend podcast that you're currently listening to. But I will have a brand new show on Wednesday morning. So it'll go up overnight on Tuesday into Wednesday morning. And then the Hawks play another home game on Wednesday night. So that the next time that we actually have a recap show will be Thursday. So a little bit of a roundup episode. Hoping to have a guest on for the Tuesday night into Wednesday morning show. But a couple of days here without a podcast. Hope you guys can hold off here because the Hawks, of course, will be pretty quiet, barring some sort of crazy trade. And I can't imagine that's going to happen in the middle of Christmas. If that does hit, though, we'll of course do an emergency podcast. But until then, we'll be here. I really, again, I really appreciate everybody listening to the podcast. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever you guys celebrate. I really appreciate it and your patronage. And it's a lot of fun to make the podcast. Want to appreciate everybody that's tuned in, and we'll see you guys in a few days.